Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. The many benefits of the breadfruit tree, today on Advanced. Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's Advanced program. I'm Linda, your host. Today is August 18th, and we are continuing to discuss our Environment article entitled Tough and Tasty Breadfruit Trees. We were introduced to these breadfruit trees yesterday, and we learned many characteristics about them. They are climate proof, they survive hurricanes, you can eat the fruit of the tree, the breadfruit, and it's a very hearty food that you could possibly feed the future with, as we learned from our deck. It is something that could increase food security in the world, which is something that is very important. So to continue our discussion, we have Rebecca back. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, Linda. Hi, everybody. It's great to be back.
Yeah. So the breadfruit tree is pretty amazing. We learned so much yesterday about it. I mean, I have always known this food that comes from the breadfruit tree, but I didn't realize like how strong, how tough it is, how hardy the tree is.
Yes.
Right? We learned that word yesterday, meaning that it's strong. It can withstand hurricanes. And that's important because in places that are vulnerable to weather events such as hurricanes, typhoons, flooding, these trees can survive and continue to feed people and continue to provide food security. All right, so I was thinking about my favorite plant. And similar to the breadfruit tree, it's very versatile. I love bamboo. To me, bamboo, like, there isn't anything like bamboo. I mean, learning more about the breadfruit tree kind of rivals it.
But they're similar, yeah. But breadfruit trees are not as beautiful,
yes,
I would say.
Exactly. So bamboo, we can eat, like the bamboo shoots when they're young. Bamboo is easy to grow. It's very strong, like the breadfruit tree. There's so many different uses for bamboo. We use it for building, right? We use it for scaffolding. You can even use bamboo to make a bicycle
as an instrument. You can build a home out of bamboo.
Exactly, because it's such strong material and it's lightweight.
Yes.
And it's just so sustainable and environmentally friendly. And it's beautiful. Like, you go into a bamboo forest, you can hear the sounds of the wind blowing through the bamboo. And also the bamboo itself. It's been the subject of so many works of art,
yes,
right? It's
poetry.
Yes. It's just so beautiful. Remember, I even have painted bamboo. So it's like, it's hard to find another plant that has like so many good attributes as the bamboo does. But what is your favorite plant?
I actually have several, but one plant I love very much is the cypress tree.
Mm-hmm.
The cypress tree, my other home was in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and in the Pacific Northwest. And when we talk about the Pacific Northwest, it's basically British Columbia, province of British Columbia in Canada, and also the Northwest states in the U.S. That would be Washington State, Oregon. Am I missing anybody? Washington, Oregon.
That's it.
It's probably
Pacific
pretty
Northwest,
much it, right?
Yeah.
Well, when we have a very close definition, these three states or provinces is the Pacific Northwest, and we have so many beautiful evergreen trees, but I think the cypress tree is my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
It's just such a beautiful and a beautiful, tall, straight. It's just beautiful. So in the Pacific Northwest, we have these evergreen trees are trees that have leaves all year. Like the trees, you don't have leaves that fall. I mean, they're always there. And they're evergreen because usually their leaves are like needle leaves. They're not like the leaves that we're used to here in tropical places, right? So I think the cypress tree is one of my favorite trees. And they're actually, in here, we do have cypress trees in Alishan.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
In Alishan, those beautiful trees are cypress trees.
Yeah, they're huge.
They're huge, right? And I love Alishan. Mm-hmm. Probably, I would say it's my favorite park here.
Okay.
Because it's just so beautiful, the cypress trees. And it reminds me so much of Vancouver. Mm. It reminds me so much of the Pacific Northwest. These beautiful, gorgeous trees. But I got to say, Linda, you make a very good point. Like whether it is the breadfruit tree or bamboo, they are so incredibly versatile.
Mm-hmm.
They're versatile and they are so functional, and that makes them so valuable.
Yeah, because although the cypress trees, yes, are very beautiful.
Yes, and you can use cypress trees to build, right? Like you can build a lot of beautiful like buildings and sculptures and things with cypress trees.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of resilience, they're not as resilient.
Okay.
And if you did have storms, you had super storms like the ones that we talked about yesterday, mm-hmm. the super mm-hmm. hurricanes, they would not be able to stand up to that.
Right. But thank goodness there aren't hurricanes in the Pacific Northwest.
Yes, there aren't hurricanes in that part of the world.
But they also don't bear any fruit, right?
Yes, they also don't bear fruit.
Okay,
and
so
I believe they don't self-propagate.
Mm,
yes,
right.
They don't self-propagate.
To plant them from seeds. But they also grow so big, so much bigger than bamboo or breadfruit trees. So each plant has its own
special characteristic, we say in English.
But we will continue to focus on the breadfruit tree here in our article. And yeah, we'll learn more about it because more amazing qualities of the breadfruit tree, because not only can you eat the fruit of it, but you can use the fruit to make other products, so many other things. So let's get into our first reading now.
While breadfruit trees were introduced to the Caribbean by colonizers in 1793, British explorers learned about them in the Pacific Islands, where the trees evolved to withstand tropical cyclones. They've had to adapt to challenging environments, and they do tend to be able to bend, like you see palm trees adapted to wind. They are able to resist some of those strong winds, said Nairi Zurega, director of a collaborative program of plant biology and conservation between Northwestern University and the Chicago Botanic Garden. And also, when they do break, they grow back. Those are the characteristics that help them do really well in island-type settings. You don't have to replant a tree like you replant rice, corn, or wheat, McLaughlin said. And these fruit trees live 100 years or more, and they're giving you hundreds of fruit. The return on your initial investment, the financial return on the fruit tree, is huge. Once mature, he said, a single breadfruit tree can produce 100 to 200 fruits each year.
Okay, so breadfruit trees are not native to Jamaica like I thought. They actually came from the Pacific. They came from Asia. And they were introduced to the Caribbean by whom, Rebecca?
The British explorers. This is a nice way of putting it. Like another word for this would be the British colonizers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like when the British colonized much of the Caribbean, they introduced the breadfruit tree there.
Yeah.
And the reason they did that was because they needed something to feed the slaves. So the breadfruit tree was a very good thing to plant because that could feed thousands and thousands of slaves that they were importing in from Africa.
Right. And these trees had evolved to withstand tropical cyclones. And cyclones are storms like hurricanes and typhoons, but the difference is where it originates from. So these storms, these tropical cyclones, they would hit the Pacific Islands,
Tahiti. Like I think we're talking about like Tahiti, the Polynesian islands. Mm-hmm. When we talk about
the South Pacific,
and this is where a lot of the Polynesians also introduced the breadfruit to places that they migrated to later. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Hawaii has, you can eat lots of breadfruit mm-hmm. in Hawaii because it's an important plant in Hawaii. And it was brought there by the Polynesians mm-hmm. who rolled their boats all the way from Tahiti and the Polynesian Islands.
Yeah. So it could easily grow there because it's also tropical, just like in the Caribbean. So it was a good match. And they could withstand all these challenging environments, hurricanes, bend like palm trees bend, right? Palm trees is another tropical plant tree that you will see in the Caribbean and in South Florida in the tropics. So they were able to resist these strong winds. And we hear from the director of a collaborative program of plant biology and conservation between Northwestern University and Chicago Botanic Garden. And she's actually part of the McLaughlin Foundation, Trees That Feed. She works with them. And she's also located where they are in Illinois. And the foundation is pretty close to the Chicago Botanic Garden. They are in Winnetka, which is just outside of Chicago. And so that's why this article is from the Chicago Tribune. So we also learned that when the trees break, they grow back, right? We touched on this a little bit yesterday. The trees get broken, or the leaves might get blown off, or the branches get blown off, but the tree doesn't die. It survives. And we also learned about propagation, right? Can you review that for us?
Yes, the
Rebecca.
Word propagate. To propagate, and when you propagate something, it just means that a parent plant, you take like one sapling or you take one cutting, and then you can plant another plant out of it.
Right.
So you don't need a seed.
Mm-hmm.
So that means for plants that can propagate, they can quickly spread much faster because you don't have to start from a seed, which sometimes takes years before a seed becomes a sapling. A sapling becomes a tree. It takes a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
So these trees can grow really quickly.
Yeah. So being able to propagate, being able to withstand strong winds, to bend, to survive, these are all characteristics that help the breadfruit tree do really well in island-type settings. And like we mentioned, you don't have to replant a tree like you would with rice or corn or wheat. These fruit trees live 100 years or more, so they have a long lifespan. And how much fruit are they giving you? How much breadfruit are they giving you?
They can give you a lot of fruit because here he says that a single breadfruit tree can produce 100 to 200 fruits each year.
Yeah.
And then you have to times that by 90 mm-hmm. or 100 because here it says that these fruit trees live 100 years or more.
Yeah.
So that is a lot of fruit over the lifespan.
You're getting hundreds of fruit.
It's like, a very good investment.
Yeah.
Because this tree is very fruitful. And it's very reliable because it bears fruit year after year after year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we learned yesterday, maybe after a storm, they might miss a bearing season. They might not bear fruit for that particular season because the breadfruit season is usually in summer. And that's hurricane season. That happens at the same time. So they might miss a season. But the next year, they'll be able to bear fruit. And it's not just a few, it's 100 to 200 fruits a year. So he even says, Mike McLaughlin, that the return on your initial investment, the financial return on the fruit tree, is huge. Like, just doing the math, we know that it's huge. So yeah, all of these wonderful characteristics of the breadfruit tree, yeah, it makes me love it more and more.
Yes.
But we will talk about the actual food from the tree in our next reading. So let's hear that now.
A vegetable or a fruit? Mary McLaughlin compared the starchy tropical fruit, which is round and yellow when ripe, to a potato growing from a tree, but with a shorter shelf life than a banana. They all have a lot of valuable nutrients and minerals and vitamins, said Zurega. The fruit has a subtle, pleasant flavor that complements a wide variety of dishes, she said, and it can be prepared in many different ways. You can use breadfruit for anything that you can use a potato for, Mary McLaughlin said, "You can boil it, you can roast it, you can fry it, and you can use the sun to dry it, and then it can be ground into flour." Long-lasting collaboration. We work with farmers. They really know what they're doing. You heard of win-win? Well, this is a win-win-win-win, Mike McLaughlin said. The win is nutrition. The win is the environment. And the win is the economy. And our donors are generous people. And I would say they are winning too.
We open up with this debate, a vegetable or fruit, right? We have this a lot with the cherry tomato. Is it a vegetable or is it a fruit?
I think it's a vegetable, yeah.
And sometimes it just comes down to culture,
society. How do you define
society.
What is a vegetable?
Yeah, so it's more of a culinary distinction, like cooking, when you're dealing with food, like in the supermarket, you need to separate fruits from vegetables, right? But scientifically, there's just fruit. There isn't really vegetable. Vegetable would be like the root, stem, or the leaves of the fruit. The leaves of the tree, the plant. But the fruit is what comes from a flowering plant, right? And it contains seeds. So that is what, scientifically, that's what fruit is.
So tomato is a fruit then?
Yes. So scientifically, it's like, it would be a fruit. But in our society, right, we have
we
this
cook.
Distinction, right? Mm. It's usually we separate fruit being sweet, right? They do have seeds, yes, but more of like a dessert, more of something that is sweet. And then savory, salty or non-sweet would be vegetable, right? We include potatoes or carrots, things that would be more for a meal. Right. So that's more of our distinction. But the fruit of the breadfruit tree, it's a little hard to describe. I mean, she does describe it here as a potato, right? A potato that grows on a tree. And I would agree with that description. It does have potato texture and it's very filling like a potato, but it also has like a bread texture, like on the outside. And you can cut it more like bread. It's not as hard as potato when it's raw. But when you cook it, it tastes more like potato. Anyway, but it tastes good. And it's described as starchy. And what is something that's starchy?
Something that is starchy. Potatoes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Potatoes are starchy.
So, you know, yeah, like or root vegetables.
Root vegetables,
right?
Or taro. Mm-hmm. Like here in Asia, we have a lot of taro. I love taro.
Or the sweet potato.
Yeah, sweet potatoes.
Right. So it's a substance that provides your body with energy, and it's found in other foods like grain, rice, potatoes that have this. So let's say carbs, right? Carbs are very starchy. All right. So they also have a lot of valuable nutrients, minerals, and vitamins. So breadfruit is very nutritious. One thing that might be a drawback is that it has a shorter shelf life than a banana. So you need to use it more quickly. You can't let it sit for too long.
Yes.
And the appearance of the breadfruit, it's round, it grows on a tree, it's green on the outside, like the skin is green, and it kind of looks like jackfruit. That's what we're more familiar here in Asia with, like the jackfruit is quite prevalent. So it kind of looks like that, like this big, big, round sort of football. But
and it's spiky on the outside, right? Kind
the breadfruit is more smooth, is smoother than the jackfruit, yeah, exterior.
Okay.
But similar in color. So you said you might have seen breadfruit.
That could have been jackfruit.
I
think that might be jackfruit.
All right, so the fruit has what kind of flavor?
Well, the flavor is
subtle, right?
Subtle.
Described as subtle, but pleasant.
Subtle. So I guess this would be similar to potatoes and tofu, that it doesn't have a strong taste. It's not like super sweet or super savory or super
Yeah, it's more neutral.
It's more neutral, yeah.
So you can have it as your staple, like a rice or potato or grain with your other dishes, right? So it complements a variety of dishes, and it can be prepared in many different ways. I grew up eating it as part of breakfast. So we would slice it, and then my parents would fry it, like, in the frying pan. And it's so good because it's crispy, and, yeah, we'd eat it with other things, our breakfast plate.
Would you put maple syrup on?
No, I usually wouldn't put anything on it. Yeah, you can just eat it by itself because it, I mean, anything fried tastes good.
Right.
Just like the crispiness, wouldn't need to put anything on it, like not even butter or anything.
Interesting.
It's, yeah, it is quite tasty. Yeah. But you can also use breadfruit for anything that you can use a potato for. So you can boil it, you can roast it, fry it, like how I had it, dry it in the sun, and then you can grind it into flour. And then you can make other things from the breadfruit flour. And if you chop up the breadfruit and fry that, then you can make chips, just like potato chips, fries. With the flour, you can make porridge, pancakes, pasta, taco shells, pizza crust.
I'm hungry.
Yeah, so
really
all of these things. I guess anything that you use flour for, you can use the breadfruit flour with. So I did not know this about breadfruit, that it's so versatile and you can use it for so many things. All right. And I was looking at the Trees That Feed Foundation website, and Mike McLaughlin, the co-founder, he created a hybrid solar dryer specifically to dry the breadfruit in, right? Uses the power of the sun, so it's very environmentally friendly, very sustainable, to dry the fruit, and then it's ground into flour.
So, oh, interesting.
Yeah. Long-lasting collaboration. So we learned about the collaboration yesterday between the foundation and the Jamaican Forestry Department. So they work with the government. They also work with farmers, right? And what does Mike say about these farmers?
They really know what they're doing.
Exactly. Yes. I would think so, right?
Yes. I mean, it's their specialty.
If you are a farmer, you should know how plants work, how they grow. And his wife, Mary, actually, she grew up on farms in Jamaica. So she has, I guess, the farming background, while he has, like, the science and finance background. So they make a great team together.
Yes.
And that's part of the reason why they've been able to stay married for so long and can have this foundation and continue it and to help others through their foundation. They really complement each other. All right, so he goes on to say, you heard of win-win? Yeah, I think we've all heard of that, right? A win-win situation.
It's good for everybody involved.
Yeah, both sides benefit. Well, this is a win-win-win-win. And what does he mean by that?
Well, we'll look at all the wins.
Yeah.
The win is nutrition. It's good for your health. The win is the environment. It's good for the environment. The win is the economy. It's good for the economy because one tree can live for 100 years and keep producing fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And then he also says it's a win for the donors, too.
Yeah.
Because the donors are donating to something that will last.
Yes. Yeah. And so many people are benefiting from it, right? So it's the gift that keeps giving, right?
Yes.
Because they get food from it, and people get jobs. This foundation, through their work, it creates jobs in these countries that they're working in. And, of course, it benefits the environment. So all of these wins, they have multifold benefits that are part of the whole foundation and the work that they're doing, which is amazing, which is great. And they're continuing to go to more countries. They're in more than 20 countries now, but they are continuing to work with more and more countries, even some countries in Asia they want to reach out to and be able to plant trees there. So we said they've planted almost 500,000 trees around the world, and they will continue.
Yes, they will continue. And when we talk about impact, you can see in the sidebar for day two, the impact of the breadfruit program. We said 500,000 trees. Now, how many meals is that? According to this foundation, they estimate over 450 million meals over the time that they've planted these trees. That is a lot of meals. Mm-hmm. 450 million.
Over the course of the founding of their foundation, yes, which was founded or established in 2008, and then they actually started operating 2009. Since then, over
that's
this period of time.
Less than 20 years.
Yeah.
That's very impressive.
They've created over 450 million meals to feed people. Yeah. And they will continue to do so. It's amazing. If you want to learn more about them, you can just Google Trees That Feed Foundation. You can get on their website or their Instagram. And yes, they're continuing to do great work. I love this article. I love this foundation. I love hearing about things like this. And
it's very inspiring. And perhaps you have a second favorite tree now.
Yes.
After the bamboo. The breadfruit tree should rank pretty high up there.
Yeah, I have a lot more admiration for the breadfruit tree and all of the benefits, the multifold benefits that it provides. You can let us know what your favorite tree is and what you learned today or what you took away from this article. We'd love to hear from you. But that is all for today. Thank you for joining us for our environment article. And be sure to come back next time to hear our next article. For now, I'm Linda.
I'm Rebecca.
Saying goodbye.
Bye-bye.